good to be in the house of the Lord once again, gathered together with each and every one of you. I'd like to give a shout out to the E-Church tonight. We love you. We appreciate you. To honor my pastor, Pastor Panero, for his leadership. But most importantly tonight, I want to honor the Lord God Almighty for all that he's done. He is a holy one. He is the righteous one. And it's all about him tonight. And I'm thankful for all that he's done. If I could turn your attention to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to only read verses 1 through 1 and 2. But please keep your finger there because I'm going to be reading down to verse 8. So don't lose your spot. James chapter 1. And it reads, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let's ask the Lord to bless us right now. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for another opportunity to gather together. We ask and we pray, Lord God, that you quicken my heart, my mind, and allow me, my Lord God, to deliver, Lord God, your word that you place upon my heart tonight. Allow me, my Lord God, to present your children with something edifying, Lord God, and encouraging. And I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen. And the church says amen. Amen. And you please be seated at this time. I'm going to continue reading here on verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying, which is the testing of your faith, worketh patience. It produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, which means not doubting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all ways. And tonight, my title, I like to preach from the thought of when trouble arrives. When trouble arrives. Not if trouble arrives, but if you're like me or like most of us, we tend to find ourselves either in trouble, getting out of trouble. Our trouble is right around the corner somewhere. Because that's what happens in our life. We find ourselves with different challenges and adversity and things that come our way. And the Bible says in Job 14:1 says, the man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And they sing about that tonight. He's about him overcoming the world. And if you live for the Lord, many of you may have double trouble. If you look at 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yeah, so living for the Lord is not going to make you exempt from trouble, from trial, from the problems that life throws us. We will deal with troubles and trials while, as long as we have this corruptible body, we will be dealing with them. But the thing I love about the book of James is the book of James is full of imperatives. The book of James, I believe Pastor said it so well not too long ago, is that the book of James is kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament. It gives us direction, and it tells us not how just to have faith, but it tells us how to live for Christ. And while the book of James is full of imperatives, he has his own style. He's not like Paul, who tells us what to believe, or like Peter, who tells us to hope. But James teaches us how to walk. He teaches how to conduct ourselves and how to live. He teaches us how to handle adversity, because even though that we know that God has won the war and we have emerged victorious, that while we're here in this mortal body, we're going to have our own challenges. We're going to have troubles. So what are we fighting? Hopefully we're not fighting each other. But hope in Ephesians 6:10, it tells us what we're fighting. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'd have to say that I think you'd all agree for the last couple of years, we've been dealing with a lot of troubles and wickedness in high places. But I'm here to tell you tonight that that's normal. This is what God has, while our situation for the last 2 years has not been normal previous to that, the troubles and trials, that is part of our refining process. H.A. Ironside wrote, He said that James wants us to have the kind of faith that when it is preached and testified, it is evidenced by righteous living and godly behavior. That was well spoken. James 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So when we do the word of God, not only are we in obedience, but we are blessed. And what is a blessing? What is to be blessed? To be blessed is when divinely bestowed favor is upon your life. Who doesn't want? Who does not want divinely bestowed favor? We all want divinely bestowed favor. So it's important for us that we seek His will, that we seek His face, and that we do and live in a manner that's accordingly and pleasing and circumspectly before God. So who is James? There's at least four different James in the New Testament, but this particular James that I believe that wrote the author of the book of James, he was a half brother of Jesus. Which is interesting because when he starts in verse 1, he says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." He doesn't name drop who his brother is. He doesn't use any, he doesn't tell anybody his qualifications. He doesn't say, "I'm James, you know who my brother, you know who my big brother is, right?" You know, he doesn't tell him any of that. He focuses on His calling. He focuses on His mission, which is to be a servant. And when we stop and think about it, we're all servants, regardless of our education, regardless of our background, regardless of our financial situation, regardless of, our history, no matter where we are, we're all servants to the Lord God Almighty. At once, we are servants to sin, but because of God's goodness, because of God's grace, because of His deliverance, He's allowed us to become servants to Him. So, His servant. In Matthew 1:21, it reminds us that who we're serving here. We're not serving just anybody, that we're serving the King of Kings. Right. He's the Lord of Lords. The Lord God Himself, He is sovereign. There's nothing that's impossible for Him, that He does all things by Himself. He doesn't require a committee. He doesn't require a quorum. There's no two-thirds vote necessary to pass it. But He is the Lord God Almighty by Himself, who needs nothing else. And as it says in Matthew 1:21, He says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from what? From their sins." Only He can save us from our sins. So that's who we're talking about tonight, the Lord God Almighty, the only begotten of the Father. As in John 1:14, it tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He's the kind of God that can deliver us from sin, and He's the only one that's capable of doing that. And we're good. We're fortunate and blessed that we serve the Almighty King. And that is the kind of God that we serve. And James, he's writing to those 12 tribes initially in verse 1. Now, those 12 tribes were the dispersion. The tribes of Israel were divided and separated from their loved ones, and they were cast out through the land. But not only is he talking about those of the dispersion, but he's also talking about us blood-born believers whose names are written down in the book of life. He's preaching to us as well. He's talking to the brethren in the faith. And as a brother and sister, the Bible tells us that we should bear one another's burdens. And sometimes, if you live long enough, sometimes life sends you burdens. It sends you troubles and trials that are too much for you to handle by yourself. Sometimes you need a friend. Sometimes you need a brother. Sometimes you always could use somebody to pray for you. But the Bible encourages us to be thoughtful of one another, to provoke each other to good works, and to be there to help each other when we're suffering through adversity and persecution and suffering through these trials that God allows into our lives. So the 12 tribes have been scattered. They'd been displaced from their home, displaced from their loved ones. They lost their businesses. They lost their property. They lost their cattle. All of their assets had been spread throughout the world. And while they were in the midst of all this trouble, God allowed this to happen. And sometimes that's hard for us to believe. It's like, He allowed this to happen. But He allowed it to happen because it was part of when He brings trials our way, it's part of our spiritual development. It's part of our spiritual maturation process. In 2 Peter 3:18, It tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And when we think about having to grow in him, you know, when we talk about growing in the natural, most of us don't have a problem with that. You know, we don't have any problem thinking about, oh, to grow, we require stress and adversity and challenges. You know, most of you guys that like to lift them weights, you don't have no problem. You know, hey, in order to get swole, in order to get yoked, what do? They put more weights on, right? They put more weights on. They put that stress on their body. They know no, they say crazy things too. Some of these youngsters, like, no pain, no gain. And they understand that in order for them to reach whatever their goals are of moving a certain amount of weight or whatever it is, they understand that in order to get there, it requires effort. It requires exertion, and it's going to be stressful. It's going to be a weight, a burden, a stress on their system in order for that muscle to develop and grow. We don't have any problem believing that for when we plant a seed. Not all the seeds that we plant come to fruition, but they have to burst through that husk, right? That plant has to burst through that shell in order to spring forth and to bloom or to have fruit. You know, when we see those little videos of those little baby sea turtles that come out of the sand, and they're so cute, and they say, don't help them to the water, because if you do, it's going to stunt their development. So when it comes to things in the natural, we don't have any problem believing that it's essential for us to have a little adversity. But when it comes to things of the spirit, a lot of times, you know, we want that blessing. We want the divine favor 24/7, right? We want to be able just to go from no maturity to fully matured overnight, and this is not how it happens. While salvation can happen rapidly, because we've all, I believe, seen people go down in the beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus and come out of that water speaking in tongues instantaneously, and that plan of salvation that begins, that new life is born, that life cries forth. While that oftentimes can be instantaneous, the development of a saint oftentimes happens through over the course of a lifetime. We grow in this walk. In order to have an abundant life, we must learn to control our responses and how we behave during our trials and during our troubles, and not let the adversity control us. But we must learn how to do, as he said in verse 2, count it all joy. Count it all joy. How do we deal with trials? James tells us in verse 2 to rejoice. To rejoice in our trials. That's hard. This verse right here is for Brother Parv. It's for nobody else. It's straight for me right here, because to rejoice when things aren't going the way I think they should go, which I know that doesn't apply to any of y'all, is how I think they should go. It's not always easy for me to rejoice. It's not always easy for me to get excited and be like, oh yeah, this is for my own good. No, I've been accused of having a few control issues. I think that's fake news, but I have family members that say that I have issues with control. So when things don't go the way I'd expect them to go, it's not always easy to count it all joy, right? So that's what the word tells us, though. It says, count it all joy. When everything is upside down, remember that God has allowed these things to happen to us, to develop us. He's like, oh, I'm not sure I believe that. Let me give you a case in point. Let's talk about Job for just a minute here. Job has a resume better than all of, well, anyone I've ever met. Best resume ever. The Bible says that he was perfect and upright. And that wasn't just the Bible. That was God Almighty saying he was perfect and upright. The Bible says that Job was also the greatest man in the East. That means he had more money than Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett put together. It talked about how successful that Job was, that wherever he went, people recognized Job because he was a man of stature. He was a man that was well-renowned because he was the greatest man in the East. That's not a title you just give to anybody. So here we have the greatest man in the East, not only recognized by his peers as being the greatest man in the East, not only recognized by his community as being a big shot, but the Almighty recognizes him too. He's like, hey, he even told Satan, he said, hey, you check out my boy Job? There's none like him. Now that's a testimony. When God Almighty says, hey, have you seen my servant? There's none like him. I mean, hey, right there, that's a mic drop moment right there. You could just walk away and be like, I'm done. I could just die right now. I'm good. You're right? Because, I mean, you can't say anything better than that. But even though he had that favor with God, even though he had that divine blessing upon his life, God still tested him. And so Job goes to bed one night, and he's still a hero. You know, he's still the man. Everybody recognizes Job. He's the man. And the next day, before that day was over, he went from hero to zero. He lost everything. Only thing God left him, if I remember correctly, is he had four servants, a wife, and three friends that weren't too sure they were happy about his behavior, because they sat there and spent most of the time telling him how there was no way that if you were good and upright and just that God would do this to you. And that's all he was left with. Body sore, aching, boils everywhere. Lost all his luxuries, lost all his assets, lost all his property. Everything that was helped, everything that defined who he was on earth, he lost all of that overnight. But Job knew how to thank God. He knew how to handle adversity. He knew how to handle trials. Because in Job, this is what he says in Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. It says, after he got all this news about his sons dying, his daughters dying, his crops and buildings falling and killing all of his kids, everything, all the horrible, horrific, terrible news that if most of us had dealt with it, it'd have been too much to handle. What did Job say? The Bible says that Job arose and he rent his mantle and he shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? Did he get bitter? Did he start to cry and complain? Did he start blowing up the social media and telling everybody, well, I can't believe what God has done to me? Did he do all that? No. The Bible says that he fell upon the ground and he worshiped. That's counterintuitive right there. That's not what most of us would have done. This is what Job did and how he responded when trouble arose, when trouble arrived to his front door. And he said, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, it says that Job sinned not, and nor did he charge God foolishly. Remember, a harsh reality is that everything natural, everything on this side of heaven, everything natural that's around us is marked temporary. It's marked temporary. I'll say it one more time. It is all marked temporary. We struggle with that because we focus on that. I'm just as guilty as the next person. You're worried about your career. You're worried about your investments. You're worried about growing your business. You're worried about going to school. And those are all wonderful things. Don't get me wrong. They're all necessary things. But they should not be the primary thing. They should not be the thing that we put all of our hope in, because all that is going to pass away. No matter what it is, whether it's our children, whether it's our relationships, no matter what, these things are temporary. All those natural things on this plane, on this side of heaven, they're temporary. So the Bible tells us in Matthew 5 and 6 what we should seek and what we should hunger after. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Job 14:14, he says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He's like, regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes my way, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to trust on the Lord, and I'm going to focus on the eternal. I'm going to count all of my situations and still count them as joy, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, notice it says count it joy. It doesn't say count it happiness, because as you know, happiness is circumstantial. Happiness, as long as things are happening the way you want, then you're going to have happiness. But joy, biblical joy, is internal stability. That internal stability is dependent upon Jesus. And that joy exists regardless of what is going on the outside, whether we're in the middle of a pandemic, we're in the middle of a divorce, we're in the middle of a bankruptcy, we're in the middle of losing our business, regardless of what's going on, that internal joy still lives and resides in us. And that eternal joy comes from the Holy Ghost that abides in us. It exists from his presence and from the hope in his word that he said that he would give us his joy. In John 16:24, it says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So when trouble comes in your life, in our life, let me look at the mirror, Brother Parr. When trouble comes in your life, count it all joy. Amen. Amen. So in 1 Peter 5 and 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's my next exhibit about when people think that maybe how can a divine God put us through troubles and trials? Why would he do that to us? Here in 1 Peter, it tells us, he says, by the grace of God, who has called us into his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that you have what? Suffered, right? After that you have suffered a little while, through the suffering, he's going to make you, he's going to make me, he's going to make us perfect, he's going to establish us, he's going to strengthen us, and he's going to settle us. So that suffering, that trouble, that trial, that's essential to our development. Because a lot of times those troubles and trials, they help draw our attention to the divine, right? A lot of times if we think we'd handle everything with our own money, with our own ability, with our own finances, we don't cry out to the Lord. We're just like, oh, I got it. But whenever things come that we know that are too much for ourselves, then those always, whether you believe God or not, they always make people start to pray. They always make people search the divine. But we have the blessed assurance that we know the Lord God Almighty. We have a relationship with him. He knows us by name. And so because we live for him and we walk circumspectly before him when we call upon him, he said he's quick to answer because he's got good things for us. And so because of that, we are truly blessed. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, it tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own, not your own bankroll, not your own expertise, not your employees, not your own businesses. Lean not unto thine own understanding. No, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge who? Him. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Paul also mentions about how we should handle trouble in 2 Corinthians 12:10. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Woo, Paul had a lot more faith than me because he just jumped right out there. He's like, I take pleasure in all these things. And Brother Parr, boy, pray for him. He's not ready to say all that. But hey, I know it's for my own good, but I don't always feel that way. I can't admit like Paul, that's why he was an apostle. Count it all joy. So David knew how to handle it. David, when he faced Abimelech, there was a case in the Bible there where he, in Psalms 34 and 1, where he goes there and he plays crazy and in order for the king to release him. And you know you're in a bad situation if you got to play like you're insane to get out of it. I mean, you're pretty low. You're in some trouble. You're in a tight spot right there if you have to play and pretend like you're a crazy man in order to avoid whatever you're fearful of. And he says, David, Psalms 34 and 1, it says, David, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, that changed his behavior meant when he was acting like he was insane in the membrane, you know, like he was crazy, like he wasn't all there. He says, after Abimelech drove him away, and when David finally left, it tells us how David responded. When God rescued him, when God delivered him from his adversity, when God delivered him from his trial, the Bible tells us how David responded. He says, I will bless the Lord. Not on good days, not on bad days, not every other Sunday. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So no matter where we find ourselves, it's imperative that we bless the Lord at all times because trials, each and every trial is a problem with a purpose. It's a problem with the purpose designed to help us on our heavenly journey, to help deliver us through this pilgrimage that we're currently on. Trials are there to help refine us. In Psalms 37, 25, David reminds us, he says, I've been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken need, nor his seed begging bread. And we should have confidence like Isaiah. Isaiah says in Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So that means this blessing, those weapons that will not prosper, those things that cannot be used against us are for us, for those of us that are the heritage of the servants. They're our heritage because we are servants of the Lord. In 1 John 4, 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's right. The trying of our faith, remember, faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. Trials develop patience. Trials develop endurance. Trials develop resilience. Trials remind us and develop grit. Adversity builds confidence, and trials develop the staying power. So let trials refine us. Let's not run from those trials. Let's not look at the bad side, but let's remember that those trials are only temporary and that we serve an almighty God who is faithful and more than able to deliver us from whatever situation arises. And also, remember that God's not going to put too much on us that we can't bear. You know, he's going to always give you an age-appropriate test. You know, an age-appropriate test, a test that you're ready for, that you're capable of. You know, you wouldn't send your little five-year-old down to the DMV to get their license. They got to wait until they're 15 and a half, and you got to pay for the classes. And then when the time is ready and they've done all the training, then they take that test. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So remember that all of God's tests, they're all open book tests. Right? They're all open book tests, and all his tests, the answers to all his tests are discoverable. They're in his word, and we can find the guidance that we need and the answers that we need to pass these tests that are designed for our spiritual growth. In verse 5, he talks about asking for wisdom. James mentions talking about wisdom. And when no wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it under the guidance of the Holy Ghost so that God can be glorified. And then it mentions there also about a God that giveth liberally. How liberally does our God bless us? How generous is he? In Luke 6:38, it says, give, and that shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you. So what does God give? Well, he gives it. It is whatever you put into it. It is whatever we put into it. You know, whether it's our gifts, our talents, our time, our ability, our finances, whatever that we give to the Lord, he is quick and able to give it back. And not only will he give it back, but he gives it down in a concentrated manner. Whenever I think of the scripture, it makes me think about when the kids were little, we would fill that green waste can with all the clippings, leaves and the grass, and it'd be piled high. It's the top of the can. And so the kids were small enough, I'd get them by the waist and I'd say, okay, jump. So I'd pick them up when they jumped and I'd put them in the trash, in the can, the green waste can, and I would hold their hands and I'd be like, okay, now jump. So they would jump and they would compact all the grass and all the leaves and all the twigs, and then they'd push it on down so that it was concentrated, and I'd get them out, and then we'd add more and we'd add more and we'd add more, and then we would get back on there and get the next kid on there, and they would jump and jump, and they would pack all those leaves down. And that's how God wants to bless us. He doesn't want to just give us a sprinkling. He wants us to pay so that our vessel is jam full, that our vessel is overflowing, that we receive exceedingly abundantly from him, because he has storehouses that are immeasurable, and there's nothing that's impossible for him, and nothing that he is not capable of delivering us from or providing us for us. In verse 6, it reminds us not to waver, not to be like the restless sea, not to be uncertain, and that those that waver, in verse 7, it lets us know what happens to those that waver. They do not receive his blessing. They don't receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8 tells us not to be double-minded and unstable, but to be confident in what you ask. We've been talking about dominion. Dominion must be obtained by confident action. To dominate something, to take control of something, is going to require effort, energy on our part, because nothing just submits itself to you without effort. You just can't take dominion over sin because you can't just take dominion over a situation without you utilizing your energy, your determination, and being a singleness of single-minded and a single-hearted in your pursuit of dominating whatever it is you need to dominate in your spiritual walk with God. So don't waver or hesitate to seek and secure the blessings of God. If the musicians could come at this time, I'm just about wrapping it up here. So when trouble comes, we know someone who can help us in our time of need. Right? So who is that one? We've talked about a lot of different people. We know who it's not. We know it's not Abraham. Right? Abraham, he couldn't even keep the story straight about who his wife was. Right? Wasn't Abraham. Right? It's not Sarah. Sarah laughed in the face of God when he said he had a miracle for her. So we know we can't rely upon Sarah to save us from our situations, to save us from our troubles. We say, how about Jacob? Can't be Jacob. Jacob was a trickster. Not only was Jacob a trickster, he liked sibling rivalry between his kids. He liked to pit them against each other and watch them fight and disagree. It wasn't Jonah. God told Jonah to go one way, and Jonah went another way. And as we all know, Jonah had a whale of a time. It wasn't Jeremiah, because by Jeremiah, the Bible tells us Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, right? Jeremiah, he was a Yoron, man. He cried too much. So God wasn't going to use Jeremiah to deliver us. It wasn't David. No, David had a little problem, right? A little problem on a rooftop. A little problem on a rooftop named Bathsheba, right? And that's so we know it wasn't going to be David. No. So the only one that it could be was the one that I had mentioned earlier that was born, whose name was Jesus, who was designed to save us from our sins. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that you know who Jesus is? Aren't you glad tonight that you serve the Alpha and the Omega, the Mighty One? There's none like him. He is the Holy One, the Righteous One. He's our strong tower. He is our mighty fortress. And there is nothing impossible for him. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And without him, we would all be nothing. Hallelujah. So James reminds us, two more places to go. James reminds us in chapter 1, verse 12. James reminds us that blessed is a man that endureth temptation. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired. Don't get discouraged. Don't let everything that's been going on for such a long period of time wear you down. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, when she is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which is the Lord, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He said, is that crown of life for everybody? Well, for everybody that loves him. And so tonight, maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you're not too sure about how to obtain that crown of life. If you could turn to Acts 2:38, this is how we begin our spiritual journey. This is how we begin to obtain that crown of glory. This is how we seek that eternal crown. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So tonight, if you don't know who Jesus is and you'd like to know who he is, you've come to the right place. Tonight, blessing is in your life. Tonight, God's divine favor is allowed you to be in this place at this time, to hear from heaven, to know his plan of salvation, to come to the conclusion to realize that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, and you have not been baptized in his beautiful name, that tonight is a night that you can change all that.